Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of the trifecta of scandal, the IRS, Benghazi, and the AP, that is supposed to be crippling the White House. For some context, we turn to award-winning investigative journalist Mark Feldstein, the author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture, and discuss the doctored White House emails that were leaked to the Weekly Standard and ABC News to breathe new life into the so-called Benghazi scandal, and whether there is a there, and what Obama should do to put these manufactured scandals to rest. Then, with recent revelations that Air Force personnel in charge of launching nuclear missiles have been relieved from their posts due to poor morale, we look into the Dr. Strangelovian world of why those who babysit these Cold War relics under the prairies of North Dakota are disciplined because they recognize the futility of what they are doing, while those who were prepared to destroy the world during the Cold War were given promotions. Rudolf Herzog, the author of A Short History of Nuclear Folly, Mad Scientists, Dithering Nazis, Lost Nukes, and Catastrophic Cover-Ups, joins us to discuss the dark comedy of the nuclear age that still lives on. And joining us now is Mark Feldstein. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland and author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture. For over two decades, he has been an award-winning investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC, NBC, and is a two-time winner of the George Foster Peabody Award. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Feldstein.
Great to be here, Ian.
And your old network there that you work for, ABC News, of course, got a lot of praise for, I think it was a week ago Friday, for breathing new life into this Benghazi story that's been largely carried by Fox News ever since 9/11 of last year, when four Americans were killed in Benghazi. They have been beating the drum on it as though there was a there. And then there were some hearings that Darrell Issa put on the House Oversight Committee. And then, of course, ABC News, Jonathan Carr came up with this these White House memos that seemed to indicate that the White House massaged the talking points for Susan Rice, which had been a charge the Republicans had been leveling all along. And it turned out that what Jonathan Carl of ABC News were given were doctored emails. So where do, I mean, is there a mea culpa coming from ABC and from the Weekly Standard?
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath, certainly not from the Weekly Standard, which has long been a kind of conservative organ, partisan broadsheet or magazine for the right. With ABC, it usually tries to hew toward a more mainstream audience, and if as it appears, and all the facts aren't completely in, but it does look like Jonathan Carl was had by his source, and anytime you're dealing with anonymous sources, the public always has to scratch their head and wonder, because they have to take the reporter's word on faith, and you have to depend on the credibility of the reporter to rely on good sources, not bad sources. And any reporter worth his or her salt would know that if the source was a partisan operative, like a Republican on the Hill, that you would have to take what they say with a grain of salt. And to claim you have obtained emails when, in fact, somebody has only told you what they claim they saw is, a real violation, a real breach of traditional journalistic ethics. And so if that can be proved, then I think Carl is in hot water, and ABC News will have to give an apology.
Well, CNN's Jake Tapper, of course, had totally different emails that he got from the White House, and apparently they'd given them to the Congress months ago, when the Congress was beating the drum over Benghazi and making charges of cover-up. The White House just you know, in the interest of transparency, gave them this stuff. So it looks as if somebody in that chain from the White House back to the Weekly Standard and ABC News doctored these and you know, made them far more incriminating than they were.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, when I was a reporter at CNN during the Clinton years, the Republicans on the Hill were played fast and loose with the facts as they attempted to dig up dirt on the Clinton White House. And we're really seeing the same thing going on now with the Obama White House. And that's why it's so important that the journalists be on guard for being spun by their sources and they not overplay information that's given to them anonymously by a partisan source. Now, you know, in fairness, we should say we can't be certain that the White House released all the emails there are. It's conceivable that they, too, are holding something back. But they released, I think, more than 100 of them, whereas what the ABC News got was really a very truncated excerpt and secondhand at that. So, you know, if I had to bet, I'd put my money now on what CNN's reporting rather than on ABC. And if indeed the CNN story can be upheld when all the facts are out, there's tremendous egg on the face of ABC News in general and on Tapper in particular, rather Jonathan Carl in particular.
Well, I recall, Mark Feldstein, that during the Clinton scandals, which, after all, or most that Whitewater part of it was completely made up. The Clintons yep. actually lost money in the, yep. in a bad real estate deal, but it went on for years and years and got an enormous amount of ink and airtime. And it was only later when Clinton handed them the gift of Monica Lewinsky that they were able to nail him for anything that even looked like scandal. And when he first came into office, his first nominee for Attorney General was his friend Webster Hubbell, who the Republicans went after with a vengeance. Eventually, Webb Hubbell went to jail, and the jail conversations with him and his wife, which of course are often routinely recorded in jails, those got Dan Burton, the head of a Republican Congressional Committee, got hold of them, and they doctored the tapes and the transcripts of those conversations that Webb Hubbell had with his wife to make it look as if Webb Hubbell was getting money from some sleazy Indonesian millionaire to fund Clinton. And he said things like, in reality, to his wife, and they transcribed that as Riyadi, which was the name of the Indonesian guy. This is really outrageous. But guess who did that doctoring? And Dan Burton was, who was a highly partisan guy, was forced to fire this guy, none other than David Bossie, who ends up being the guy that who is the Citizens United guy, the very guy whose case was brought to the Supreme Court and has changed the entire nature of our politics.
Well, that's right, and you know, I know David Bossie and dealt with him when I was a reporter, and he was a common source for reporters. But every decent reporter knew you had to watch very carefully what you got from him, just as you did with the other side, because there was such a clear partisan agenda. In fact, he told one of my sources that I'm going to bring Bill Clinton down, even if I have to take the Republican Party with me. And in a sense, he succeeded. You know, the same forces are at play now. You know, you have a third of the congressional machinery now in the House devoted to trying to delegitimize the Obama White House by digging up dirt on what's going on there. And, you know, these three so-called scandals, trifecta appearing all in the same week, that so much is being made of in Washington, you know, with comparisons to Richard Nixon, are really kind of historical blasphemy. To equate that with, you know, these sort of trumped up pseudo scandals with anything that occurred during Watergate, which was so much more criminal and ultimately creating a constitutional crisis, is to really just disregard the historical reality.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Feldstein. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland and author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture. For over two decades, he has been an award-winning investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC, NBC, and is a two-time winner of the George Foster Peabody Award. Now, Mark, it seems that particularly with Fox News and with Limbaugh and others, it's just a reflexive alternative reality that they have, that they actually create an alternative reality. This week, the president hosted the prime minister of Turkey at the White House, and in the midst of a rainstorm, Obama asked the Marines to bring out some umbrellas so that the prime minister wouldn't get soaked, and Obama made a joke, you know, I can change my suit, but I don't think he can, you know, and he was quite gracious about it. If you would have seen the reporting on Fox, it was unbelievable. I mean, they say, here he is, you know, they're letting the Marine get wet and he's, you know, he's dry and this is how he treats our fighting men. You know, they give him cover, but he doesn't give them cover. I mean, it's outrageous what they say. And is that, just since you've studied this culture of scandal, am I seeing something new here in the level of toxicity?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you go back to the earliest days of the Republic, the newspapers that Jefferson and Hamilton ran were pretty nasty to each other. So in that sense, no, it's existed since the beginning of the Republic. But I do think, you know, in the last generation, we have seen it's moved in cycles, and it's moved from more deferential and objective journalism to more partisan journalism on both sides, but, you know, particularly on the right. And so you really do have Fox News and a number of the Weekly Standard and a number of other magazines and websites and so forth that are, you know, extraordinarily partisan, and their invective is strong. And their agenda is clear. You have some on the left, but they don't seem to be able to compete at either the reach or the decibel level on the right.
Well, Mark, I get hundreds of emails every day from right-wing groups offering up guests to talk to. And the talking points, while there's a sort of uniformity to them, sometimes they are so absurd, it's just, you know, laughable. And a lot of the talking points that are now circulating on the right, and there's an element of frenzy to it, they're talking now about that because of this trumped up IRS scandal, they're now saying that Obama stole the 2012 elections, when in fact, you know, the real issue with the IRS is that these 501c4s, these so-called social welfare tax-exempt vehicles that have been used for flagrant political purposes, 90% of which have been done by the Republicans and by the Tea Party. And there's the very good analysis of that in Sunday's New York Times on the front page about what really happened and how the IRS is trying to deal with this absolute blizzard of applications for tax exemption in this flagrantly political way that they use these, social welfare tax exemptions. It's pretty astounding the kind of thinking that goes on, and you realize that there's an awful lot of people in this country that have the most bizarre beliefs about who this man in the White House is, and nothing is going to change them, and they cling to anything that might reinforce these beliefs. But what do you think Obama can do about this? Because it seems to me that he's really mishandled the IRS thing. I thought that could have been a great opportunity for him to talk about Citizens United and the absolute outrageous nature and the consequences of that ruling, and how billions are flowing into our political process in the name of charity, in effect, and that's completely wrong.
Well, it's tough. You know, the old saying is it's tough to fight. You know, you never win in a fight with the people who buy ink by the barrel, and that was kind of in the old days of print. You know, Franklin Roosevelt had the same problem with a right-wing press, William Randolph Hearst, and
Colonel McCormick,
Begler and McCormick, and that ilk. So, you know, it's tough because, you know, on the one hand, you know, if you come out swinging, you almost give more credence to it. On the other hand, if you lay back, it doesn't go away. I'm not sure there is any easy and obvious solution. You know, but I certainly agree that, you know, the IRS issue not only stemmed from Citizens United, which ironically, as you pointed out, was brought to us by the same folks who gave us Clinton impeachment, that, you know, in previous administrations, there have been similar issues raised about going after progressive groups, whether gay or, you know, gay rights groups or whatever. So it's not that this is completely new. Not to defend what seems to have happened in Cincinnati, that was pretty, you know, indefensible if they were singling out Patriot or Tea Party folks and not doing the same for folks on the left. But, you know, to compare it with Nixon when he was, you know, ordering tax audits of liberal Democrats and using it as a, you know, a form of punishment, it's, you know, there's nothing to suggest that. Here, you know, all that's known to date is that, you know, sort of low-level bureaucrats kind of maybe, you know, maybe ideological driven or maybe just sort of incompetent, not knowing how to do it.
Well, but being this is a new condition, though. That's what the Sunday's New York Times front page story makes it clear.
Right.
The blizzard of applications is overwhelming, and I'm not suggesting that Obama, stooped to the level of his accusers, but rather change the subject and talk about something that's really important, that's at the heart of the issue, as opposed to get sucked into it. To some extent, he did get sucked into their narrative by doing that mea culpa and by saying, oh, this is outrageous, et cetera. That's not going to satisfy the Republicans.
Well, nothing will. I mean, that's the problem with appeasement, if you will, is, you know, you give an inch and then they want a foot, and you give a foot and then they want a yard. So I think you're right. Just as a matter of optics, you know, and tactics, that's right. And part of his job, you know, in the bully pulpit is to explain the Citizens United case, which the public is overwhelmingly against. The public doesn't support, special interest money controlling campaigns and elections. And the voters are smart enough to see through that. Let's hope they get around to it, because right now the dialogue and the discourse in Washington is so debased, it's almost like Alice in Wonderland. You would think that something real had just occurred in this past week, rather than the kind of coincidental confluence of several different really unrelated non-scandals.
Well, just in closing, Mark Feldstein, it does seem, though, that in second terms, presidents get beset by things that go wrong. And obviously, there's no comparison between what's happening now with the White House and Watergate and Iran-Contra. But Watergate happened in Nixon's second term, Iran-Contra and Reagan's second term. Both were, you know, popular presidents with tremendous poll numbers, I guess.
Right.
And they both suffered serious hits, and one of them, of course, was almost impeached and had to resign. So just in closing, give us some context about the second term kind of curse, if you will, and what Obama can do to endure here and get something done with a completely destructive Congress that seems to really be dedicated to doing nothing in order not to give him any victories and therefore ultimately punish the American people.
Well, I think it's tough for him. I'm not sure I accept the second-term curse notion. I mean, with both Iran-Contra and Watergate, those are very real scandals, constitutional crises even, that occurred in the first term and weren't uncovered until the second. With Obama, there really is no such, you know, misconduct. What he does have that those other two presidents didn't face is a House of Congress so implacably devoted to his destruction in the House with, you know, Republican majority, that it's just going to be very difficult for him to, and it always was before these scandals, to achieve anything. And in a way, these scandals are really not the cause, but the effect of the Republican determination to bring him down. And if it wasn't this, it would be something else. There was a time when it looked like perhaps he could get some stuff through where their interests overlapped, immigration, for example, because some of the more moderate elements of the Republican Party, you know, are hoping not to write off the Hispanic vote in perpetuity. But now it looks like, you know, even some of this commonsensical legislation where their interests overlap may be difficult to get through. And if the Republicans want to be a party of nihilism, where they just say no to everything, no matter what, it really is, under our system, only so much a president can do. He can try to go over their heads to the people. He can hope for judicial vacancies to fill. He can try to do better in the midterms, although these pseudo-scandals may cost him in 2014. But even a president of the United States has limited powers, let's hope he is back on his game. If anything's going to get through of a positive nature in the next 3 years.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Mark Feldstein.
A pleasure, as always.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Feldstein. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Maryland and author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington's Scandal Culture. For over two decades, he has been an award-winning investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC, NBC, and is a two-time winner of the George Foster Peabody Award. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back talking about how Air Force personnel, with their fingers on the nuclear triggers, have been relieved because of poor morale.